right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Sticky Bleachers, a podcast. I'm Bobby here with you today.
And I am Corey, returning to the internet waves, question mark? I don't know if the internet travels on waves, but we're returning after a hiatus thanks to some double travel for both of us being on the road for all of last week. And we're nerdier than ever, Bob. Guess what I've gotten into recently involving sports and nerdery?
What is that?
Watching YouTube videos of people open old packs of cards, including baseball cards and such. So just a video of a guy like, I'm going to open, this is a Topps rookie series, 1983 wax pack. All right, I'm going to open it now here.
Now they have to be famous people, right? That's the thing. It can't just be an average Joe opening.
No, packs. Usually it's just a dude. It's always been a dude. I've never seen any women doing video. Maybe there are some women who do these videos.
Celebrities, not just women.
No. Not celebrities. They're all just normal folks.
Really?
Normal dudes with, like, their iPhone. Like, holding the iPhone with one hand and, like, trying to open the back of cards with the other.
It's amazing the quality that is acceptable for certain things on YouTube. Like, just hold your iPhone and open a pack of baseball cards and you'll get 1,000 views.
There you go.
Easy.
I fell for it. And I bet you're going to go search it out too now, Bob. Now you're going to want it.
I saw that Yahoo was doing that with baseball players. I think it was right before the season started. They had a bunch of baseball players open packs of baseball cards and stuff. So if you've ever thought opening a pack of baseball cards was fun, try watching somebody else do it.
Dude, it's great. Because you don't have to buy. Sure. It's cool. I like watching people open like old packs of Magic cards that are really valuable. Like ones I could not afford
There's
to spend $500. Oh, okay. Wait a sec now. You call me a nerd for wanting to open an old bag of Magic cards, but opening old baseball cards is less nerdy than old Magic cards.
I'd say the Magic cards are probably more nerdy. And nerdy in a good way.
I mean,
it's not a bad nerd. Nerd right, is right. not a, a derogatory term nowadays.
Okay. What if they were Pokemon cards? Would that be better or worse?
I think that's a different word. I don't know what that is, but I think it's different.
Okay, so Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Maybe we call it geeky.
Geeky?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm good.
I'm just throwing
things
out.
That. Yeah, yes. But we're back here talking about sports. We've missed quite a lot in our absence. The March Madness tournament finished up. Villanova had just an absolutely unforgettable Final Four weekend.
One of the best championship games I think we've ever seen. Probably maybe we'll ever see. Who knows?
Just incredible. And I, just by magic, I happened to be in the United States when that game happened. So I was able to watch it live on CBS, which, great.
Yeah. And I was in Florida watching it. So we were ships passing in the night. But we still...
I know.
It was nice to be able to watch the same game. And it was just a wonderful game. And very excited for Villanova. Congratulations to everybody. Very belated.
Yes. And I've been running a little office pool with a bunch of international folks, Irish people, Romanian folks, Chinese woman, people from Spain, Germany, Portugal. We've got people from all over the place.
It's the United Nations of
It is the UN of March Madness, and we're kind of just showing them here's what the Americans are excited about for March Madness. But we promised them a winner prize and a loser prize from the United States. And
nice.
I think you might be interested, Bob, in what we got for our winner and losers prizes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The winner, and we wanted to make sure that they got the full American flavor. So the winner is getting a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, a box of s'more-flavored Pop-Tarts,
ooh, okay,
and a pack of Twinkies. So they can really get the American flair. For the loser, the lowest point total, it's not me and it's not my wife. We were right in the middle there. The lowest point total gets a package of snowballs.
Ooh.
Hostess snowballs. That's for the loser. And then everybody who played gets a peep. Everyone who played gets leftover Easter peeps.
Is that a good thing? I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, but it's just something that everybody can share. And I have a bunch of Easter peeps left over. So
don't we all?
Well, we all do, but it's a nice. But Absolutely. They will never have tried them, so at least they can try these.
Oh, they never tried a peep.
Yeah, the folks over here would have never tried a peeps. They would have not tried the Twinkies or the s'more flavored Pop Tarts.
I think out of all those, the Twinkies. You got to go with the Twinkies. I know the s'more flavored Pop Tarts are popular with some people, but it's a little too much marshmallow for my liking.
Well, remember, we're just trying to introduce them to the flavors of American junk food, and we thought that kind of ran the gamut nicely.
Oh yeah, it was a wonderful gamut, absolutely. But if we're really diving into the sweetness of all those things, I would say Twinkies take the cake. No pun intended.
Ooh, they take the sponge cake.
Yeah. They're mini cakes.
But also on that same weekend, Bob, we have Major League Baseball started. That's our sound effects board. That's me doing my Michael Winslow Police Academy sound effects. That was a baseball crack of the bat and the roar of the crowd, if you weren't quite sure on the sound effects, Bob. But baseball's going.
Absolutely, baseball's going. We had an exciting first week of baseball. Now we're in the second week, so you know we're pretty much kicked off here with baseball season. So have you had a chance to watch any games yet?
Yes, I did watch while I was in the States, I watched the Yahoo Sports free game of the day. That they were broadcasting live, and I watched it from the Mountain Time Zone. I'm very close where I'll be settling, Bob, to the West Coast sports dream, which is the you get up at 9 in the morning, and the East Coast games are already going, and then you just stay up through the day. The West Coast games happen at a nice watchable time, and if you do want to have that extra bowl of popcorn at midnight before you go to bed, you can watch the Hawaii games going on. That's more during the college football season, but it's just really nice. Of course, Mountain Time just shifted one over, but I like woke up. It was like 11 in the morning. Finished my breakfast, was doing some stuff around, and then I was like, oh, look, baseball's on. And I watched, I believe, the Reds and the Pirates on the Yahoo's free game of the day. And then also I've seen that MLB streams on YouTube outside of U.S. only a game or two every day for free. So they do a free game of the day on YouTube, but you cannot watch it. You're blacked out, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I hate the blackouts with MLB. I think they're light years beyond any other sport with as far as streaming goes, but man, the blackouts are annoying. Being in Iowa, you have I believe there's 5 or 6 teams that are all blacked out from you, and some are several hours away. I mean, like the Kansas City Royals and Minnesota Twins are not within our region, but yet they're on the blackout list. So kind of a little bit of frustrating things, but I do love the Yahoo free game of the day. That is a very nice little addition. It's a good stream, and they usually have a pretty decent game. It's not like football where we're getting, you know, just two below average teams that are kind of like, yeah, you guys can watch this one for free. But
Yep. And does Yahoo still do the full count show? That's the live magazine show that they do for starting at in the primetime games where they just do live look-ins and bounce it back from the studio?
I'm not sure. I know MLB Network does something similar to that, kind of just goes around all the different games and pays attention. That's a good way to watch baseball, actually, too. For the people that get bored with watching a baseball game, that's a really fun way to just pop in to see the action and move on to the next thing. So,
right. And I've also been trying to watch the MLB Fastcast in the mornings when I come here. They generally have that done, although the MLB YouTube channel is kind of difficult to, and I think it's because of the platform on YouTube. YouTube sorts things when you search them in kind of a funky way, and because they put up hundreds of highlights every day, it seems like every highlight, just Mike Stanton makes a great defensive play, and it's like a little 26 video, and they have, and I said Mike Stanton, didn't I?
Yeah.
Not Giancarlo Stanton. I'm sorry.
We all knew what you're talking about.
How did I let that happen? I was like, think of a baseball player, and I don't even get a baseball player who goes by that name anymore. Oh, geez. Fuzzy Pickles goes for it on third. Oh my gosh!
But no, they do. They have a nice archive of all their different highlights and stuff, and they stay up to date with all of the different stuff. And
they've been adding classic highlights recently. Yeah. That's been actually somewhat of a news story. They've been kind of slowly building their library of that. So gone are the days where you have to watch really low quality VHS recordings of those things.
I know that because during the last couple of tough Braves years for me, I've been going back and watching the 95 World Series just quite a bit, just all over, you know, just watch Tom Glavine just win the World Series for the Braves again. So it's a nice replacement for having a crappy team this year.
Okay. All right. Do you get to see Chip Carey calling those games?
No, that was the World Series, actually. That was Bob Uecker, Bob Costas, and Al Michaels, I believe. So that was a wonderful team. I want to get that team back together, actually, for all the playoff games and everything. We need Bob Uecker on primetime TV more often.
Sure. I
replace Joe Buck any day of the week.
Yeah,
please.
Joe Buck and you. Let's do Bob Uecker and Troy Aikman. That would be that. That'd be the combo.
Here's the combo I want, Corey. Right? Ready for this? Okay. Bob Uecker, Norm Macdonald. Those are the two. I want them in the booth for every single major television game out there.
What day is it? October?
Yes. Norm Macdonald and Bob Uecker, I'm telling you, it'd be the most entertaining any sporting event. They could do golf, they could do football, they could do baseball, basketball. They could do it all.
Kind of like we do over on our YouTube channel, which you can find by searching over at Sticky Bleachers, Bob. Isn't that right, my friend?
Nice tie-in. There we go.
Oh, yes. Although
Do you want me to pick up that?
We're working on getting some more games on there now that we're getting back into the swing of things. But I just thought that that's a perfect place to put in a plug, where you can find nice archive, including 5 different game simulations of the Negro Leagues. But we have lots of exciting baseball, lots of exciting basketball coming up. We have the playoffs happening. But, Bob, a young man, not quite so young, by the name of Kobe Bryant, just hit the retire button on his career.
Absolutely, he did. And I have went out and... In Kobe fashion.
Yes, he went out in Kobe fashion. I have a little Kobe Bryant quiz for you, Bob. We'll do the quiz, and then we can talk a little bit about, we can put a cap on that career. What do you say, Bob?
Well, here, how about a little something before we go to the Kobe here?
All right, let's do it. Let's go.
So sticking on the baseball front, I noticed that on Monday, a 39-year-old Bill Duggan, he's a Detroit Tigers fan. He was at the home opener for the Tigers. They were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Bill caught 5 foul balls in 1 game. And he says he has a penchant for catching foul balls, and he gives them all out to the kids and stuff. He doesn't take them all home. He says he once caught 8 foul balls in a game. So my question to you, Corey, have you ever caught a foul ball? And is there anything more exciting while attending a game to come away with, like as far as a souvenir?
Yes and yes.
Okay. I want to hear both.
All right. Well, one thing that would be more exciting to walk away with a souvenir, there are very few things. But
you can't walk away with
that,
a lot of balls in a sporting event.
That's true. That's true. But I can think of a few things that would be more exciting for me to walk away from a game with. One of them would be Bob Uecker's half-finished beer.
Okay.
There's one thing. The comedian Gallagher's smashed mustard jar because he was doing
a
show.
We're going sporting events here, Corey.
No, I know. Gallagher was throwing out the first pitch, and he did so by hitting a mustard thing with a hammer and throwing it. So
now, did this really happen?
Getting that relic. Oh God, I hope so. Oh God, I hope so.
If that hasn't happened, it totally needs to happen.
He could do it with a bellows, about like a fireplace bellows. So like put the ball in front of the bellows and then hit that with the hammer and use the air to launch it.
I love it. Did I ever tell you about the time I got to use the Sledge-O-Matic with Gallagher?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad that's a connection. You and I both have seen Gallagher and enjoyed his comedy live before we lose him as a national treasure. Anyway, I have caught 1 foul ball. I don't know if this counts, Bob. Triple A Iowa Cubs.
I'll allow it.
You'll
allow it?
Okay.
It's still the same thing.
Yeah, it was hit by Cubs catcher Hector Villanueva, and I remember because I caught him, because it was AAA, I caught him after the game and had him sign that ball for me.
You sure it wasn't Mike Villanueva?
I'm sure it was Hector Villanueva because he was kind of bouncing back between AAA and the majors, so I did have a small collection of Hector Villanueva baseball cards, speaking of cards. So there was a time when I was like trading guys for cards for this guy because I like, I saw him play and I have his autograph. So I'd be like, here's my Frank Thomas. Can you give me... 5 Hector Villanuevas, please.
How old were you? How old were you? Were you a kid?
I was a kid. Yeah, no, I was 24.
Well.
No, it was back
this guy's 39. He's catching 5 of them a game, so.
I said Frank Thomas, Bob. Did you not hear me? The big hurt? Do you remember?
You're telling me you can't trade a Frank Thomas card nowadays? I think you still can.
No, Frank Thomas cards are not worth 5 Hector Villanuevas now.
There's a 1992 Frank Thomas Topps card with his name printed upside down that's still worth a pretty penny, I believe. But
really?
Anyway, check it out. There was only like 1,000 of them made. So anyone out there that has an upside down Frank Thomas name printed on a baseball card, that's worth a pretty penny.
Cool.
Did you have to fight off anybody? Did you have to fight off anybody? Or did it come right to you?
No.
It was like the sandlot.
At the AAA Iowa Cup Stadium, I did catch it out of the air because I did bring the glove with me.
Good.
But we were in the bleachers, so I had a good amount of outfield room to work with on the bleachers when I was a kid, and it was one of those real high balls, so I had plenty of time to get under it.
Nice.
And I did catch it out of the air with my little glove.
Did you get a round of applause? That's another thing.
I did, from the, like, 18 people in the entire section of the bleachers there in Principal Park in Des Moines, Iowa, although it might not have been called Principal Park back then in the early 90s. But yeah, how about you, Bob? What's your foul ball story?
I've never caught a foul ball in an actual game. I have caught a batting practice home run, though. I believe it was off of Brandon Phillips of the Cincinnati Reds.
All right.
It was fun, though, because I went to the game with my dad. We were in Wrigley Field, and we were sitting in the bleachers because we have never done that. So we went to go watch batting practice, and the Reds were taking batting practice. And right before we walked in, I was like, all right, here it is. I'm going to catch a foul ball, or I'm going to catch a ball, you know, today. And we got up there, and, you know, there was, like, sparse people and stuff in the bleachers and everything. And within like first 5 or 10 minutes of being there, line drive home run was hit and reached up. I caught it with my bare hand, actually, which was the part
off of BP's Batman. Did your hand swell up?
I believe I had a couple beers in me already at that point, so it was pretty good. And, you know, you catch it, you get that momentum back a little bit. You don't reach out and try to just grab it. That's when it hurts. But you got to go with the ball a little bit. But
yes,
yep. Caught it and still have the ball to this day. So I've never caught one in a game, but that was the closest I've gotten.
Well, that's why you still have it, because we all know that batting practice balls are okay to keep. But had that been a in-game on the books home run, you'd have to throw that noise back.
Yep, exactly. Which I would have done happily. So that would have been fun.
Rookie of the year style? Would you try to get it to the pitcher's mound?
Yep. That would have happened. No questions asked, Corey.
Oh, you would have gotten to the pitcher's mound. Yes.
Oh, I would have thrown the strike right to the catcher's glove.
You know, one of the most impressive throws I've seen, Bob, happened when I was in those bleachers at Wrigley Field, was Carlos Zambrano got ejected when he was pitching a game for arguing balls and strikes, and he was screaming out the ump, and they were very close to, he was like kind of on his way to the dugout. So they were between home plate and the home dugout, and he just took the ball and chucked it, and he almost got it in the air into the basket. So he almost hit an arm home run while screaming at the ump in it near home plate. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this. But he fell just short of it.
That'd be a fun game to be to. I mean, we were at the game where Lou Piniella was kicked out for the first time as a Cubs manager.
So the two Cubs games that I have seen are two legendary ones with ejections. Yes.
Nice. You have high expectations for a Cubs game now.
I know. It's like, I don't know if I can go back for a while. I need to let things simmer down for another like 10 years. That's been a little while.
Joe Maddon doesn't get kicked out that often. He doesn't get that hot-headed. And we don't have wonderful characters like Carlos Zambrano anymore. So
I know. That was sad. I think Miami was a good place for him, but never worked out. I know. But I think that would have been the best fit. But who knows?
Anyway, I thought that was a good little segue. I love that you can go to a baseball game and you can walk away with something from the actual game. I think I was trying to rack my brain. I think maybe a hockey puck, you can keep a hockey puck if it goes into the stands. But I don't think you can't keep a football because they have the nets that block the field goals. And then you definitely can't keep a basketball if it goes into the stands.
Nope, got to give that stuff back. I don't know. I don't know what happens at soccer games if kids can keep balls. I'd have to probably go to a soccer game to learn that, and I don't think I care to do that.
Well, and I guess Cam Newton, now that I think about it, Cam Newton and the Panthers were giving away footballs, but that's not nearly as fun as catching it in the, you know, the act of the ball falling towards you and everything.
Yeah. And you know what's nice? I'm glad that you said that the man who breaks these records and has a penchant for catching foul balls is because he is like barreling kids out of his way, just throwing them through the bleachers. Like, oh, I'm keeping these. So it's nice that he gives them to the kids. That is like, well, when you say he caught five foul balls in the games, like that means there's five crying kids outside that stadium getting comforted.
Well, and the other thing too is like, I mean, you think about it, when I go to a baseball game, I rarely have a foul ball that comes anywhere even close. So I'm wondering if he's walking around, like, just waiting for the foul balls to happen, or if he's, just sitting in the right spot and he gets all the foul balls that so happen to come.
Sabermetrics, Bob.
Yep,
It's as easy as that. He looks at the spray chart. He looks at the spray charts of all the line. Is that the right word? Is it called a spray chart or a scatter chart?
It's a spray chart. Yep.
Spray chart. So he gets the spray charts of the lineups. He just says, this is a righty-lefty matchup. Right. And he just looks at the spray charts, looks at the numbers, crunches them up, decides where to buy his ticket, goes on days when he can, as you said, move around so that he can – he's playing the shift, Bob. He plays the shift in the stands to get
That'd
those
be a fun
foul balls.
That'd be a fun game. Go to a baseball game with five of your friends, and whoever comes away with the most foul balls at the end of the day wins a prize. Maybe a Twinkie. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. That is that we may have invented the coolest new metagame since fantasy sports have been invented.
Yeah.
Of trying to play the shift on catching foul balls. We have to see if it works in real life. If you try that, let us know if it works. Maybe that's what he uses, Bob.
Well, when you go out to Colorado, Corey, you can go to Rockies games. Get $5. Get sit in the rock pile. It's out in the middle of the dead center. No shade whatsoever.
Ugh,
hot as can be.
That sounds brutal.
Yeah, it is brutal. But you can walk around the stadium. So I think that might be something low cost to get in there. And we can give this thing a shot.
Okay. Well, we'll play the spray chart. We'll have to get the lineups, get the charts, crunch the numbers, and make that happen. So, all right. Let's go on to our quiz, our Kobe Bryant quiz, Bob.
We'll go to Colorado to Kobe. It makes perfect sense. Remember?
Yes.
The thing. Yeah.
Oh,
anyway.
We'll get there. All right. So.
I hope not.
We all know Kobe Bryant is his name. What is Kobe's middle name, Bob? Is it Byron? Is it Bean with an N? Or is it Benjamin? So is it Kobe Byron, Kobe Bean, or Kobe Benjamin?
I'm going to go Benjamin.
It is Kobe Bean Bryant, baby.
Dang, man.
Yes, fantastic middle name. All right.
Man,
who famously asked Kobe in a rap song, tell me how my ass taste? Was it Shaquille O'Neal? Was it Latrell Sprewell? Was it LeBron James or Dominique Wilkins?
Oh, it's Latrell.
It was Shaquille O'Neal asked Kobe in a rap song, in a diss track, after Shaq left the Lakers. He asked Kobe in a diss track.
I thought he gave up rapping after, pre-Lakers days. So he came back out of retirement.
He got back in the rap game.
To diss?
He hasn't gotten back into the acting game. But he did briefly get back in the rap game just to make a diss track on Kobe.
Got to pick up the mic again. But so Latrell Sprewell, though, he had a little rap career as well.
That's why I picked him as a alternate option for you, Bob, because you got it exactly right. Latrell Sprewell.
Kobe had a little bit of a rap career. No one really remembers it, but he had a short-lived rap career.
I certainly don't remember it. Anyway, moving on. I didn't know Kobe was
look
rap
it up.
Too.
Look it up. Yes. YouTube that.
Why didn't I find that on the Wikipedia page doing research for this quiz? Bob,
because his management team.
Yes, where was Kobe Bryant from? We all know he came right out of high school. Was he from Dallas, Chicago, Philadelphia, or New York City? From a big city.
What were the options again?
Dallas, Chicago, Philadelphia, or New York City. Kobe Bryant.
Philadelphia, I think.
He is from Philadelphia. Ding sound effect. There we go.
Thank you.
All right.
I should know more. I'm a Kobe fan. I like Kobe. I know a lot of people like to hate him, but he's good.
Yep.
It's fun to watch.
He's pretty good. So going back to his early time, Bob, he was picked in the 1996 draft, in the first round.
Oh, Corey,
and which pick was he selected in the 1996 draft?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which pick? Ninth, 13th, or 17th in the 1996 draft?
I got it down between two.
Okay. 9, 13, or 17, I'm sorry.
I'll go 9, but I think 13.
He was picked 13th overall in the 1996 draft by who, Bob? Was it
Charlotte
the Lakers,
Hornets.
The Memphis, or Charlotte Hornets? And I could hear you already, Hornets.
Man.
And then the Hornets left Charlotte and came back to Charlotte all during Kobe's illustrious career. I have one more question about Kobe, Bob. This is going to be an easy one. Ready?
All right.
Did he do it?
No.
In 2003, Kobe Bryant was accused of sex assault in Colorado. We all know the story. Charges eventually dropped. Civil suit settled out of court. But it's one of these things that just makes – one of the things that makes sports so sad is that you can hardly talk about sports without using the word sexual assault, like almost any sport or domestic abuse. One of those two pops up in so many sports stories.
Yeah. And we've talked about it before, not necessarily on the show or anything like that, but it's separating the person on the field or the court or whatever platform they're playing on from the person they are off the court. I think everybody gets that. And regardless of what you do, I mean, obviously sexual assault, domestic assault, all those things are bad. but they shouldn't necessarily affect how you view that person when it comes to their job. Like, granted, there are things that are more difficult to kind of comprehend than others and everything, but we don't get all the information ever as an audience member, and we don't, none of us know Kobe, none of us know the woman with the allegations, and a lot of us weren't in the courtroom or anything like that. So a lot of those things happen. I like to shut all that stuff out because I'm not thinking that this person is like a good Samaritan or a saint. I just think they're good at basketball, you know, and that's really kind of it. And as far as like the social standings, I mean, look at a guy like Peyton Manning, everything like that, did something, yes, you know, not similar, but in the same boat. I mean, they're on the same boat as far as like sexual misconduct, you know, we'll say, but he puts on an image that it's a good old boy and he does it very convincingly. And he's on a number of commercials and everyone kind of, it's easier for people to forget about that, I guess. So I don't like to get into the whole, this is what they did in their private life. Cause again, there's a lot of things like when you're a high profile superstar, a lot of people gunning for you. Not necessarily that was the case, but that could have also been the case with that situation. So,
and what makes me most sad about it is that you think about how much it happens in real life, those kinds of things that happen in real life, and we only hear about it when it's a celebrity. So if Colby Myant was doing these things or Maiden Fanning was doing these things, we wouldn't hear about them. They wouldn't be on our news radar, but when it comes up on these bigger name folks, it does it. But that's one of the things that people will probably question for Kobe in his career. Now, in his last game, though, Bob, he went out with quite a bang, scoring 60 points in his final game, shooting 22 of 50 from the field. Yikers.
Yikers is right. But, I mean, I think everyone had the same motive with that game, just let facilitate Kobe's shots and try to set them up and everything. So,
and that's,
but he did turn it on.
I don't love about the NBA and times when, and in baseball, I know this is always a big question, is whether or not it's okay to assist somebody towards a milestone. You know, just like in a regulation game, like, well, we're just gonna keep feeding the ball to Kobe no matter what. We're gonna let him shoot 50 from the field.
Well, and we've noticed this thing too, which I don't know if I'm a fan of or not with it in sports, but people announcing their retirement the year, like during the preseason or before their retirement year starts, so that it's this big long send off. Like,
farewell tour. Alex Rodriguez, final trip to the Texas stadium. They give him a,
He's technically not retired yet. He didn't announce that. That was refuted. So, but Derek Jeter, David Ortiz, Kobe Bryant, I mean, these guys. I don't know if I like it, just because it kind of becomes all those things. Like, you can't – Derek Jeter is probably the best example of a guy that, if we go back to sabermetrics and everything, probably shouldn't have been playing shortstop, but he was such a brand for the New York Yankees, and then he was retiring. He was almost more of a liability with the Yankees on the field, but financially, he made that team a lot of money. So you keep, you keep Derek Jeter at shortstop when he can't – he's probably like one of the – lowest graded fielding shortstops in the league. So I don't know if I'm a big fan of the whole announcing you're going to retire before the year's over.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts?
I agree with you on that. Although people are free to do whatever they want to, if they feel like, I'd like to have myself be celebrated for a whole year. I've been doing
it. It just seems like a phenomenon that's happening like over the last like 2 or 3 years or so. Well, I don't even know who started it.
Yeah, I saw his when I saw his draft in 96, I was like, wow, 96, really? Like, that is a long time in the league. 96, geez.
Was 96, was that the same year as Kevin Garnett drafted?
I am not sure. I'd have to pull up that data, Bob. We're not celebrating KG, though.
KG's still in the league. KG's still playing.
Well, he's not going to get quite the send-off as this. Here's a comment, Bob, about Kobe, possibly. Army ML says he's in the same tier as Jordan, Pippen, Malone, Magic, Bird, etc., etc. It's always great trying to figure out who's the second best of all time, Jordan being first, but Kobe is up there with those guys. It's interesting hearing Pippen.
Yeah, throw Pippen in there. Yeah.
Pippen is so Jordan, Pippen, Malone, Magic, Bird. I wonder what order Army ML was thinking there. I mean, Jordan and Pippen, I know, go together thematically. But I don't know if Scotty, as much as I like him and his awesome flat top.
Which he still rocks to this day, by the way.
That's so good. I love it. That is so great to know. It's just comforting.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, I mean, like, they do it in all sports for sure, but they really, really do it in basketball. It's always comparing to, it's like regression to the Jordan instead of regression to the Jordan. Mean. It's just
to the, yeah, it's to the crying is, Jordan.
Yeah, well, he was so great, it brought himself to tears. But it's one of those things, like, I don't mind the debate, but it seems like it's the only thing they talk about, like, especially in the middle of the year, like, when they're trying to figure out who the best team is and really just trying to think of things to talk about. They yep. always go, is LeBron as good as MJ? Is Kobe as good as MJ? Is yada yada good as MJ? Is Steph Curry the anti-Michael Jordan? Blah, blah, blah. Like,
oh, yes.
You know, they do all that stuff, and I don't know. As far as listening to, like, talk radio or listening to sports pundits and anything, I don't need to hear a debate that's never really going to have an answer. And there's really no way to come up with an answer. I mean, you're not going to go back to 1996 and have, you know, LeBron at his peak play Michael Jordan at his peak. And then maybe once we get time travel technology, then we can maybe. Actually do something like that.
Maybe.
But until then, you know, we're really never going to know. And then you have to just compare, you know, I guess who Jordan played against and look at, like, Allen Iverson and Kobe Bryant are the two examples that I think of that really they challenged Michael Jordan late in his career and kind of started that whole conversation with those two people specifically. Yes. But
yep,
Allen Iverson, great underrated basketball player.
Yeah, and it was like Malone put up in there too. I was like, I'm just thinking, like, yeah. all the great players we've had, like, and I don't know if the game changes enough, you know, much like it's hard to compare baseball players who played 100 years ago to those today.
Right.
You know, when you talk about people like Dr. J or Wilt Chamberlain, did they play in a game that was different enough that we can't yeah. compare those things? Or guys who played before the three-point line or before the ABA was merged into the, right. the NBA, you know?
That's a very interesting and good point because that's probably one of the reasons why Michael Jordan is put on a pedestal. Not only was he unquestionably the greatest basketball player that we've seen in our generation, but he played a very similar game. And maybe we'll start to do that. And I guess we'll see how the NBA responds to it, the Golden State Warriors and everything. And if there's a lot of parity within the league to kind of follow their blueprint. But if we're down 20 years down the road, if we're looking at Steph Curry and, like, who is the best, who compares to Steph Curry or who compares to Klay Thompson right. or something like that, it'd be interesting.
Right. Here's a note, Bob, about the Warriors going into the playoffs here. We can maybe jump onto that. Curry finishes the season as the scoring champ at 30.1 points per game with the least minutes per game in history. That's 34.2 minutes per game. And Bruce Mack Jr. says he got 34 miles per gallon. Awesome, because it is 34.2 MPG. So Steph Curry and the red
Very
hot
efficient.
Golden State Warriors heading to the playoffs, but yeah, so 30 points per game and only playing 34 minutes per game.
It's impressive. Oh, there's no question he's the greatest shooter in the game right now. And I mean, it's incredible his range. I think we've talked about it on the show before, but, like, I remember EA Sports was complaining about how they have kind of they've tried to model their games around actual gameplay, and so they're trying to get players to really just make realistic shots instead of trying to kick these crazy half-court shots or doing they want him to play basketball. And Steph Curry, with his range and the shots that he's taken, are kind of going against all those things that they were just trying to program their players to do.
Yeah.
So he's taking video game shots in real
yep.
life and
knocking back
them.
Fadeaway threes from 30 feet. Just, yeah, all right, no problem.
Yep. And I believe Doc Rivers at the beginning of the year kind of said that Steph Curry was ruining the game or not helping the game of basketball because a lot of kids saw what he was doing and wanted to emulate that from the beginning. And they didn't realize that you have to start, you know, shooting realistic shots and getting good at that to reach the level that he's at. So I think we saw a lot of that too in the college basketball March Madness tournament. Like, you saw just some crazy shots that were getting thrown up. And I think a lot more Steph Curry was in their minds than usual. So
that they were taking brash shots
yeah.
like that.
Long range shots. They could hit them in practice, so let's start hitting them in the game and everything, where it's before you maybe ride the bench a little bit if you take crazy shots like that. So
yep,
I looked
yep.
at the Little Rock, Arkansas game is what I kind of the Purdue game is
yes.
what comes to mind. That late three that he hit was just, that was just a crazy three, and part desperation, but part
yep.
like let's do
lots
this.
Of crazy threes in that tournament, Bob. But so also a couple of teams, here's some trash talk I dug up on a couple teams who are probably not going to be advancing far enough to play in the championship with the Golden State Warriors. We have from Raptors fan Kyoku says, this is in all caps, the Pacers might have PG-13, but the Raptors going to beat them so bad it will be rated R, Bob.
For Raptors?
The Raptors going to be beating down the Pacers so bad it's going to be rated R.
I think the Raptors might be a sneaky team. It'll be interesting to see what Cleveland does with the East because they're the clear favorite, but also they're kind of not in shambles, but they're not as cohesive of a unit as a number of the teams in the West. So they might be a little more vulnerable than some of the top seeds in the West. But so a team like Toronto might come into play. Never count out the Pacers.
But all right, well, we'll have to
anyway,
watch
for that. Anyway, we'll get into NBA playoff basketball here in the next coming weeks. So.
Yes, and that's something that we kicked off our Sports Sim video series with a sim of last year's finals series, and so we'll have to keep an eye out for that. We'll have to see who we're going to be calling. Is it going to be the Golden State Warriors? Is it going to be the Raptors? And will it be rated R? We're gonna have to find out. Explicit
maybe it'll
tag.
Be a rematch. It might be a rematch of last
maybe,
year.
Maybe we'll have to see.
Yeah, but it's interesting though with Kobe going away, and then you have Steph Curry kind of taking over the league. It's interesting that LeBron's situation. I mean, as far as being, he is the face of the NBA for the last, 10 years now. And it's just interesting to see how his role has kind of changed within the whole NBA. And he's not necessarily, he's considered the greatest player, but he's also not considered the greatest player, which is just an interesting thing. Like where you have, like Kobe Bryant was the greatest player until he like noticeably fell off. And there was the questions of who's better, LeBron or Kobe, for a long time. But you don't really have that debate between Steph Curry and LeBron. I think people look at Steph Curry's shooting and they're like, yeah, he's the better basketball player. But
yep. Anyway. He's a monster. He's a monster.
He's a monster. A team's a monster.
Yes. How about some video game speedrun records, Bob?
Oh, sure. I got a little fun tangential story on that as well. So,
all right. Well, let's get the video game story and then you share that with us. That sounds interesting, Bob. So a couple of new records, and this is going back just not quite all the way back to our last update. Just this last week or so, we have a new world record in The Legend of Zelda Majora's Masks, All Masks category, 2 hours, 32 minutes, 45 seconds by Trev Person. We have a new world record, Bob, in Batman, the animated series for Game Boy.
Really?
We have new record in Dark Souls 3, All Bosses. That's in 1 hour, 19 minutes, 7 seconds by Distortion 2. Another exciting record. This is in Super Punch-Out, Bob. Not Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Super Punch-Out, any percent category, in 243.37 by Zallard 1. Zallard is a very, very well-known Punch-Out runner, both in Mike Tyson's and Super Punch-Out. And then we have the always exciting Super Mario World Zero Exit speedrun in 1:25.21 by Seth Blaine. Yes, that is Super Mario World, Bob, beat in 1:25.
Still working on it. Still going on 3 months now.
Are you still? What's your category, Bob? Are you running?
I don't know where I'm at right now.
All exits, no cape. What, like, which category are you working on?
Any way possible.
Oh, okay. So you just anyway? Can you beat that game, Bob? Can you sit down?
I've never
and beat
beaten
that game?
It. Never sat down and beaten the whole thing. So
well, there you go.
I'm slowly working on it with my emulator and what little free time I do have. So
all right. Well, there you go. You got to get over the Butter Bridge, and you'll be all set. Or just get
we'll
your
see.
Way to Star World, and then you can go to the back door.
Oh, there you go. I'll have to look it up. I'll have to see.
That was the fastest way I could beat it as a kid. Was just open up Star World in Donut Island. And then I knew where all the unlocked secrets were in Star World. And then takes you to the back door of Bowser's Castle.
So when you were a kid, did you get a book on this? Like, I know they had like the gameplay strategy books and stuff, or did you just learn from friends and stuff?
Just learn from friends. Just
really
doing basement bopping, right? Just going between, and someone would find a secret, and then you were like, okay, all right, so now I'll find that, and then like one of us would find another secret, and then you just go back and forth, and you're nice. Like, all right, Star World 4, okay, cool, yeah, I got it, and then that's
how, now we have the internet. I mean,
that's
we used
how,
to be able to
right.
do all this stuff.
That's what
right.
the internet does now. It's basically just a web that goes over the whole wide world and allows people to share schoolyard secrets and pornography.
Yeah,
as much as they want.
That's essentially what it is. Yeah, that's essentially a good description of the internet.
That's right. So now we're not passing like
and clickbait
red
ads.
Red book
that.
Magazines with bikini pictures in them.
Yeah. It's less waste in our landfills.
That's true. That's true. There's fewer Red Book magazines than ever in our
It's a very now. Green choice is the internet. So.
I agree, Bob. All right. So what is your record-breaking story, Bob?
Well, the record-breaking story, it's not video game related, but it kind of is video game related. So it was actually binge-watching television. So this this kid from Brooklyn, AJ Fergrosa, 25 years old, he set the new Guinness Book of World Records for most hours consecutively binge-watching television. So he watched 94 hours of television. And the previous record was 92. I believe it was set by a group of Austrians. It was just set in March. So a very quick record time that they held. So 92, now is 94, binge-watching television. And some of the shows that he watched... Oh, so first off, it was 1 hour increments, and he got a 5 minute break every hour.
Okay.
But still, for 94 hours, he had to do nothing but sit on a couch and watch television. And some of the shows that he watched included Battlestar Galactica, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Twilight Zone, Bob's Burgers, Adventure Time, and Game of Thrones. So I thought I would throw it out to you. If you had to watch 94 hours of television, what are some shows that would be on your list of shows to watch?
That's interesting. You would automatically, I would want to put up like nostalgic shows for me, but I'm wondering if those shows wouldn't live up. Like, for example, I might go like, oh, I want to watch like the Pirates of Dark Water. Like, I've got to see how that ends. I've got to see if they find that last treasure. I don't think they ever finished that series, and I probably would not hold up very well if I tried to watch it now. We talked about this last week. I think a 10 season marathon of Trailer Park Boys would be in order. I guess if the rules are television, it has to be television shows that we're not watching movies. We can watch
the epic shows that are like one long movie, of course. But
yes, we could. So yeah, like I could finally find out what happens on the
wire.
It's
watching TV. It's watching television. So, I mean, if anything that can be on TV.
Right.
So.
Right. Well,
you can watch a movie that's on television.
So then I could watch a colorized version of It's a Wonderful Life. Yay.
If that's what you choose, so.
I would not choose to watch a colorized version of It's a Wonderful Life for Christmas time, so, yes.
Maybe a repeat of Rocky, or what other movies do they play?
Well, I mean, Jaws was a classic. Yeah. Any of those Comedy Central movies that were on in the 90s all the time, like The Money Pit.
Joe Dirt.
Like Joe Dirt that was on all the time on Comedy Central. I would probably turn those down, though. But I would go for some of the comedies, probably.
No Game of Thrones or Battlestar Galactica?
I wouldn't watch Game of Thrones. Battlestar Galactica, it got a little bit too far off the reservation, I thought, in the second season. It got a little bit...
Are you familiar with Battlestar Galactica?
Too esoteric. Yes, Bob, I am.
Okay. Do you watch Game of Thrones? Can I ask, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, and I know it's a crossover hit. I know.
Come on, Corey. Come on.
I know. I watched some of the first season of it, but
You watched the first season of it and wasn't enough?
No. It moves pretty slowly. A lot of those long dramas move pretty slowly for me.
It's all about the setup and suspense, Corey. It's just like a wonderful symphony, you know?
And like,
sometimes it gets low.
A symphony with like boobs, boobs, boobs.
That's what I think every symphony needs more of.
Yes. Well, we probably would have higher attendance at our world orchestra concerts if they had stripper poles on the front of the stage. So you could hear.
I think even vice versa, too. I think you should have more orchestras and strip clubs as well. So you can just.
Okay.
They can be a package deal.
A live.
You're telling
orchestra
me you wouldn't walk
a
into a strip club and hear a wonderful symphony or an orchestra playing a symphony going on? I'd be like, oh, it's a classy place. Classy. Nice.
Yes.
Just
yes.
once. Game of Thrones is great. What about like Walking Dead? Are you a Walking Dead fan?
No. Also moves too slow. Also
really?
Moves too slow for me. Yep.
I got to go back to all of when we were in high school. We watched a lot of zombie movies.
We did. We did.
I felt the one thing about the zombie movies is that it never gave enough time to actually set up what would actually happen. That's the whole premise. Like we'd watch like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, all that stuff. Night of the Living Dead. And it would, I mean, all the characters would either be desolate or dead by the end of it. And when it would happen within an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I always thought they'd last a little bit longer.
Yeah, well.
And so that's what Walking Dead does. It goes very far. Although I know a lot of people have, they just had their season 6 finale. And it was kind of a heart wrencher. Some of these shows, Corey, I thoroughly believe you can't watch week to week. Like, that's why they'd be a perfect binge watching show. You can sit down and just watch the whole thing from start to finish. You never get frustrated that you have to wait a week to see it.
Right. So when you and I want to tackle this challenge of watching four straight days of television, then maybe you can show me, Bob. You can show me.
I'm telling you, man.
The Walking Dead when we go to do four straight days of television.
Have you even watched an episode?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've watched some of them.
Like middle of the season, like just with no context and anything else?
No, I think I watched the first few episodes of the first season. I watched the pilot. You know, you got to watch the pilot of it, you know, give it a chance because it's like thematically up my alley. But
it seems like, Game of Thrones also seems like a no-brainer. But
yeah, it's a crossover hit.
It is. They would never cancel it.
They would never cancel it. Oh, thank you, Bob.
But so on your list of shows. On your
standing
list of shows,
ovation.
What do you have? Thank you. I can drop Ben Wyatt references all day long. I'm feeding your bird. He's starving.
Oh, nice.
That's a deep one.
That's
one of my
deep.
Favorite.
Your eagle.
Is Parks and Rec on?
Yeah, Parks and Rec would be on there. Parks and Rec would be on there. See, I'm just thinking there's like things that I watch when I'm on a plane. And I did just watch a Parks and Rec episode on the plane coming back to Europe from this other one. And one episode of Always Sunny, one episode of Silicon Valley, just like the shows that I had one shot at.
Do you like Silicon Valley?
I do. It's a show
I've never seen, but I know Bill from Freaks and Geeks is in it, and anything he does is awesome. So
yes, anything he does is
but it's
is
good.
Great. It's a great Funny. Show. It's a great show. I also like Workaholics, despite it being kind of bro-y.
I love Workaholics, despite
okay,
it being
and
very
I'm,
bro-y,
I'm up but... with Workaholics too. I'm actually yep. not. I haven't seen the newest Workaholics, but.
It's a good season. Yeah. They've entered that realm of they're popular enough to get celebrities to come onto the show and do like little bit parts, but they do it well. So
yes.
I won't spoil it anymore, but that's the realm.
All right. But the first show I would watch, Bob, the first show is I would watch the Gang Beats Boggs episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And that brings us back to sports.
That does.
With the great Wade Boggs. God rest his soul, everybody.
He's
and
not dead.
We finished. We made it back to sports. So I think, Bob, we probably should give our plugs and quit while we're ahead. What do you think?
I agree.
All right. So we are Sticky Bleachers. You can find us on all of your favorite, maybe not all of your favorite social media platforms, but many of them, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Podomatic, on iTunes. Get in touch with us on any of those. Find our YouTube videos. We've got more baseball coming. We've got NBA playoff coverage coming. We're getting those Sims back up and getting excited for just a really cool summer of sports, Bob.
Absolutely. The weather's getting nice and the sports are in full swing. So we'll get ready for the second season of NBA, also known as the playoffs, and the beginning of the baseball doldrums. So
there you go. So put your hoodies on and enjoy that April baseball with a cup of hot chocolate in the stands there. So for now, I will be Corey signing off in Sticky Bleachers.
I'm Bob. We'll see you guys next time. Play ball!
Stinky.